Welcome to Wellness Your Way. I'm your host, Megan Lyons, and I've helped thousands of people find their own way to wellness. Wellness Your Way is an extension of that work, aimed to help you find your unique path to feeling your very best. Each week, we'll go through tactical strategies you can use to improve your health, happiness, and quality of life. So grab a mug of tea or lace up your walking shoes. We're about to dive in. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 134 of Wellness Your Way. As usual, I am super excited to be spending the next 30 minutes or so with you. I hope you're enjoying this beautiful spring weather. I'm just assuming it's beautiful wherever you are. Maybe you're getting out for a walk, or you're getting stuff done, you're doing the dishes, or you're driving somewhere productive. So whatever you're doing, I really hope you're having a great day. And I am super excited about today's episode. I'm going to start by sharing an interesting study about protein and its link to depression, which raised my eyebrows. I was excited to see this one. But then I'm going to dive into six easy ways you can improve your health. I'm going to jam-pack a ton of information on various topics into this short time. And finally, I am going to share a crazy offer with you. It's been brewing in me for a little while now, and I finally get to share it with you. So the smile is huge on my face, and I'm just really overjoyed to share this offer with you. It's honestly one of the most generous offers I've ever made. So be sure you stay till the end to find out how to take advantage of it. But for now, let's go ahead and dive in. It's time for health news you can use. And I've always said that most of the one-to-one clients who come to me, they are eating enough carbohydrates and fat. We just need to alter the quality a little bit and help them choose different selections to reach their goals. But almost all of the clients who come to me, and in particular, the women who come to me, are eating too little protein for their goals. Protein is super important for things like muscle growth and body composition changes, satiety, and so much more. And all of that is getting more and more recognition. But did you know that there's an emerging connection between protein and mental health? So I'm talking today about a new study out of Switzerland, and I will say first that it's a small study of only 134 athletes studied over the course of 10 months. So in my opinion, which I think most scientifically minded people would agree with me, this is not enough to be fully conclusive at a population level, but it's still interesting and it will likely spur on more research. So that's great. And we're going to cover it today anyway. The study used food recall assessments. So participants were pinged randomly and asked, what did you eat yesterday, for example? And the researchers used that to calculate macronutrient intake of each participant. And then they also had them fill out surveys about their depressive symptoms at the beginning of the 10 months and at the end of the 10 months. And what they showed was that those people in the study who ate more protein had less incidence of depression. Really interesting. There was no association in the study between carbohydrate intake and depression and fat intake and depression. And honestly, that surprised me. I might have guessed that there would be an association. Probably those, I would have guessed those who ate more carbohydrates had more incidence of depression because of the glycemic impact of more of the refined carbohydrates, which leads to blood sugar swings, which can lead to mood imbalances. And I probably would have guessed that those who ate more fat, if it was the right quality of fat, had less incidence of depression because the omega-3 fats, like we've discussed on the podcast, are really great for the brain. But since they just jumbled them all together, we're talking here about processed fats, hydrogenated oils, and the good quality fats all together. So I guess given that, I'm not surprised that there's no association. Anyway, Both fat and carbohydrates are still important. So I'm certainly not suggesting to anyone to be on an all protein diet or anything like that. Of course, we want to choose the right quality of fat and proteins, but those are still important. However, I think this is really great motivation to be sure your next meal and maybe your next meal plan has a great source of protein. Be sure that your protein intake is reaching your goals. If you're curious, I'll link to the study in the show notes so you can check out for more. All right, my friends, it's time for the veggies of the matter, where I'm going to share 6 easy ways to improve your health today. But first, I want to take you back a couple years ago. A few years ago, I was 8 years or so into my business, 7 years into my business, and I wanted to put together what I would consider my signature health program. I knew it was going to be called the Revitalize Health Accelerator, and I was thinking about what was going to go in. And I was thinking about all of the knowledge that I had shared with thousands of clients over so many years and that I had learned from reading and all of my degrees and all of that kind of stuff. And I was like, wow, there's so much. And I worked really hard to boil down the important health education that I thought my clients needed to know into 12 pillars of health. And the goal in creating these 12 pillars of health was just to cover everything. I mean, that's a small goal, right? But really to cover every bit of holistic nutrition and wellness that would be broadly applicable to someone who was looking to improve their health overall. And I worked really hard to ensure that I left no stone unturned, or whatever the saying would be. And the 12 pillars that I came up with, they've been proven over and over and over by hundreds of people who have been through this program. So I know they work. And because these 12 pillars of health are so critical, I wanted to share a little preview of them with you today. Now, I can't do a podcast telling you everything that you learn inside of the Revitalize Health Accelerator, because it would be the world's longest podcast of like 48 hours straight or something like that. And even though you love me, no one wants to hear me for that long, including myself. So instead, I set out today to just give you one little tip from each of the 12 pillars. And then I started outlining this podcast and it became so long, you know me, I can talk, that I stopped myself after the first 6. So what I'm going to do today is give you a little taste, like 1% of the information that we cover in Revitalize, formulated in terms of 6 easy ways to improve your health. So let's dive in. First one, pillar 1 of Revitalize is all about goal setting. And in that pillar, we cover why goal setting is important, the 6 steps of goal setting that I've used personally to set goals, from business to relationships to health and everything in between, my dream goal system, which I think is better than SMART goals, how to stay accountable to your goals, whether or not to use the scale, all of this kind of stuff. But here is your easy way to improve your health. This is your tip on goal setting. First, or not even first, but just here's your tip, break your health goals into smaller goals. That's it. Break your health goals into smaller goals, because big goals can feel overwhelming. And we want to make them more manageable and less intimidating. And the best way to do that is to break them down into smaller action steps that we can actually achieve, that we believe we can achieve, so it doesn't seem so daunting and we don't keep putting it off. Each little step needs to be achievable on its own and contribute to the overall goal. And by focusing just on this next step, you can make a whole lot more progress and build momentum to your larger goal. So let me give you an example. If your goal is to start meal prepping your food, for example, you can break it down into smaller steps. Like, first week, I'm going to do a meal plan. I'm going to buy every single meal. I'm not going to cook a thing, but I'm going to meal plan. This night, I'm going to pick up a rotisserie chicken and pre-made vegetables from Whole Foods. This night, I'm going to go to Chipotle. This night, I'm going to have a frozen dinner, whatever it is. But you're planning, you're just not prepping. That's week one. And then maybe the next week, once you've got that mastered, you do that again, but you prep your breakfast. You say, okay, I'm going to choose Megan's chia flax hemp pudding from Instagram, and I'm going to make that for breakfast. I'm going to make four of those or something like that. And that's it. You just start there. And then maybe you add in snacks. Maybe you add some veggie packs. Then maybe you add in lunches. Maybe you do the summer Italian chopped salad that I just recently put on Instagram. Then maybe you add in roasted vegetables that you'll have with dinner, but you're still not prepping the whole dinner. You take it step by step like that. And these smaller steps are going to make the larger goal of meal prepping much more approachable and achievable. Because let's face it, if you've never meal prepped, and meal planned and food prepped in your life, and you set out to just make 21 meals tomorrow, it's going to take you 8 hours. You're going to hate it and you're never going to do it again. And that's not what I want for you. So building with these small steps until you reach the point where you have reached your full goal, that's the key. Makes it more attainable, gives you a sense of accomplishment as you kind of tick off each milestone along the way. That is the way to achieve your goals. So that's number one. Let's move on to pillar two. Pillar two of Revitalize is SHINE. Now, SHINE is an acronym for what I consider the five most foundational health habits that are really just a baseline for everyone. So S stands for start the day with positivity. That's a morning routine. And if you've heard the Wake Up and Go podcast that I've done, you probably have a head start on your morning routine, which is amazing. H is for hydration. I is for introspection, N is for nutrient intake, and E is for exercise. So this is a really hefty pillar, but here's an easy tip to improve your health in terms of hydration, which is the H from SHINE. You might have heard that thirst can sometimes be mistaken for hunger, and this is true. The sensation of thirst is not always easy to determine. It can be really easily confused with the sensation of hunger. So as a result, sometimes when we think we feel hungry, we might actually just be dehydrated. And so it's very important to stay mindful of our hydration levels and drink water regularly throughout the day. It's great if you're reaching your goal by just chugging one time during the day, but it's much better if you drink water regularly throughout the day. Caffeinated beverages also. All you coffee lovers, I know, I hear you. I drink it too. I just drink more water. They can actually contribute to dehydration. So they do not count for your hydration. Things like coffee and tea and soda, they contain water. I know people always tell me, well, I put water in the coffee pot. I hear you. But they also have a diuretic effect, which causes us to increase urine production and could actually lead to dehydration. So I just consider those a neutral. I know a lot of people make their clients subtract from their hydration goal or add more water for every cup of coffee they drink, but I just consider it a neutral. We still need to reach our water goal just from water. So what I suggest is aiming for half of your body weight, which is measured in pounds, that number of ounces of pure water per day. You can add in lemon or cucumber slices or apple cider vinegar or Ultima Replenisher, other electrolytes or something like that. No sugar, no artificial sweetener electrolytes, but no coffee, soda, alcohol, any of that kind of stuff counts for this goal. So figure out your body weight in pounds, divide that in half, and drink that number of ounces of water per day. All right. Pillar number three of Revitalize is macronutrient balance. Now, I don't technically pick favorites, but if I did, this would be my favorite pillar because I think it's the most impactful for people, honestly. And in this pillar, we cover what macronutrients even are, all about carbohydrates, all about protein, all about fat, why macronutrients are more important than calories, how to balance macronutrients using my VVFP formula instead of like counting calories and weighing all your food and stuff like that. We cover how to manage portion sizes, how to make room for extras, which are like additional fun foods that don't necessarily nourish our bodies, but might add to our enjoyment. So much more. There's just tons in this pillar. But here's your easy way to improve your health tip on macronutrient balance. Here's the tip. Carbohydrates are not bad. No food is bad. In Revitalize, we don't use the words good and bad, and with my one-to-one clients as well, because that just perpetuates this moral assessment of food. And you're not a bad person when you eat a donut. You're not a good person when you eat a salad. You're a good person for many other reasons, but the salad doesn't have anything to do with it. So stop saying carbohydrates are bad. It's just not true. In fact, and it's also perpetuating that vicious emotional cycle. Some carbohydrates or some foods that are rich in carbohydrates are some of the healthiest foods on the planet, in my opinion. These are vegetables primarily. Many of you probably don't think about vegetables as carbohydrates, but they are. So it's all about the quality of carbohydrates. 40 grams of carbohydrates, for example, taken from broccoli, that has a profoundly different impact in your body than 40 grams of carbohydrates from white bread. And there's a full spectrum in between. 40 grams of carbohydrates from all of these different foods impact your body differently. When we eat too many overly refined grains, which are grains ground into a flour and then baked into something else, we have huge blood sugar and insulin responses. These leave us feeling irritable, craving more food, potentially storing more fat, all of this kind of stuff. So those things in excess may not contribute to your goals. But carbohydrates from vegetables, fruits, whole grains, if you do that, other whole foods, these can be a very important part of a healthy diet. So it's not the carbohydrate, it's the form of carbohydrates. All right, let's move on. Pillar four of Revitalize is meal planning and food prep. I touched on this a little bit when we talked about pillar one, and I know you've seen on Instagram how important this is to me. But in this pillar, we cover the benefits of meal planning, whether or not you're going to actually prep. We still can plan. We cover my five-step process for meal planning and food prep. We really pack a lot into this pillar. But here's for today, your easy way to improve your health tip on meal planning and food prep. Research has shown, believe it or not, that people who meal prep are more likely to consume a nutrient-dense diet and have better control over portion sizes. We're also more likely to have a higher intake of foods like fruits, vegetables, lean proteins, and whole grains. And meal prepping can also help with portion control. This is why when I make a recipe that has multiple servings, I determine the portions for me based on protein count, and I always portion it out right away into evenly sized containers. So if you make a soup that has four servings or whatever, it's most people's tendency to put that whole thing into the refrigerator and then just ladle out when they're hungry, what a serving in quotes, whatever they consider a serving at that time. But not only can that lead you to overeat, honestly, I think that can lead you to undereat. Oftentimes, I'll send a recipe link to a client and they make it, and like 9 days later, they're still eating the soup that actually made four servings. I'm like, well, no wonder you were hungry. You weren't eating enough of this because it was just in one big vat and you took out a ladle, whatever fit in your bowl or whatever. And that's not the way to do it. So really think about how much protein is in there, how much fuel is in there, and portion it out in advance as soon as you make this. When you do that, you're less likely to make those impulsive food choices. And honestly, it's so convenient just to have a meal ready to go whenever you are ready to eat, have time to eat, or you're hungry. So portion it out. Pillar five, moving on, of Revitalize is label reading. It's really so confusing when the store shelves are loaded with options that are marketed as healthy, and we know some of that is like too good to be true, but we're really not sure how to tell. So in this pillar, we cover misleading information on labels, where to start when reading labels, the ingredients to minimize and avoid specifically, how to determine added sugar, total carbs versus net carbs, what you can ignore when looking at labels, and really a lot more. But here's your easy health tip for the day. According to a study published in the journal Nutrients, packaged and processed foods accounted for more than 57% of the total energy intake in the American diet in 2021. So we really need to learn how to read these labels. And one thing that you can start to look at is the quality of the oil that's used in the product, if they use oil. A lot of people are really talking about unhealthy oils these days, but most people that I talk to one-to-one are still confused about which oils are unhealthy and which are better for you. And it really can be confusing. So I have two rules of thumb for you today. First, if it says hydrogenated, it's not healthy. Hydrogenated oils are the same thing as trans fats. Hydrogenated oils create trans fats. And companies used to use these frequently because they create a longer shelf life. They have a really good texture, things like this. But trans fats negatively impact our cholesterol levels. They raise our LDL, which we want lower, and they lower our HDL, which we want higher. And thus, they increase the risk of heart disease. So we really want to stay away from anything that says hydrogenated oil or trans fat. And most of that has been taken out of the food supply in the US, which is great, but some of this via loopholes is still lingering in there. The second rule of thumb is a little counterintuitive. It's that fruit oils, oils from fruit, are generally healthier options than vegetable oils or seed oils. This seems a little weird because vegetables themselves are generally the healthier category. But when it comes to oils, the oils from fruit like olive oil, coconut oil, avocado oil, these are generally the best. And now I know some of you are thinking, well, olive oil can't be cooked at high heat. And you're right. It is optimal to cook from those fruit oils like coconut oil or avocado oil at higher heat, and olive oil to use that raw or at very low heat. So we do also consider the temperature at which oils are cooked. And if you want more on that, you can click on the link to the blog post for this week in the show notes. Just scroll on down in your player. And you'll go to the blog post where I've linked to a bunch of this additional information. But in general, think about if you're reading a label looking for oils that come from fruit, like olive, avocado, or coconut, instead of oils that come from vegetables or seeds, like vegetable oil, canola oil, sunflower, safflower, all of those kind of oils. All right, pillar number six, our last one for today. Pillar six of Revitalize is all about inflammatory foods. And this is a favorite of Revelers, which are people in Revitalize, because I take you through my 10-day reset protocol that has helped so many people feel really amazing. Even before Revitalize existed, we were doing the 10-day reset. And in this pillar, we talk about what inflammation is and what causes it, why inflammation matters, which foods cause inflammation, the inflammation cup, which is really important, gluten, dairy, alcohol, added sugar, processed foods, all of this kind of stuff. But here's your easy tip to improve your health for today. We want to think about symptoms like all of these that I'm about to list: fatigue, trouble sleeping, brain fog, gas, bloating, constipation, diarrhea, puffiness in your hands or face or feet or abdomen, rashes, joint pain, headaches. All of these things can be attributed to inflammation. But here's the interesting thing: inflammation is actually helpful. Now, this seems really counterintuitive, so let me explain. There are two types of inflammation: acute inflammation and chronic inflammation. And acute inflammation happens when you have a specific place in your body that's injured. Like, let's say you sprain your ankle. Inflammation, which is technically made up of white blood cells and chemical mediators like cytokines and increased blood flow and fluid accumulation, all of this stuff travels to the site of the injury, which is your ankle, and helps you heal that damaged tissue. This is really good. However, what most of us are suffering from is chronic inflammation. And this is where our entire body is experiencing damage. It's not just our sprained ankle, but our whole body is sending out the signal that it has damage that needs to be repaired. And this is because we're eating inflammatory foods, we're encountering too many toxins, we're undersleeping, we're overexercising, we're overstressing, all of these types of things. Our whole body seems like it needs repair. And so inflammation, although it's a helpful process, when it's chronic, when it's systemic, when it's through your whole entire body, you're going to get some of those symptoms that I mentioned. So next time you're feeling any of those symptoms, just ask yourself, have I maybe recently eaten some more inflammatory foods? Is there anything that's upticked in my diet recently? Maybe am I undersleeping? Have I been drinking more alcohol? Ask yourself what's going on and see what you can do to find some other options. All right, so I'm talking your ear off and we've only gotten through six pillars. So I'm going to stop myself before going through the remaining pillars. But just so you have a taste of what else is in Revitalize, I'm going to run you through the list of the other pillars. Pillar seven is special events like traveling or special or social events. Pillar eight is timing of nutrients like snacking, intermittent fasting, fueling your workouts. Pillar nine is supplements, where we go through one by one over 40 supplements and I help you decide what's right for you. Pillar 10 is sleep, which includes a really fun experiment that helps you determine which factors have the biggest impact on your sleep personally. Pillar 11 is stress management. Don't we all need that? And pillar 12 is emotional eating and self-talk, which is one of the favorites. There's just so much information in this program, which leads me to the offer. I hope you can already tell how passionate I am about the information included in Revitalize. I, as you know, loyal podcast listeners know, I put out a lot of information on the blog and the podcast and social media and all this stuff. But honestly, it's tough to formulate it yourself into a system, a step-by-step system that helps you improve your health and actually apply all of this. And that's where Revitalize comes in. So over the past 2 years, Revitalize has helped so many hundreds of people improve their health in a fun and sustainable way. And just last week, literally last week, the cost of joining Revitalize was $1,399 per year. But I'm feeling really generous lately, and I really honestly could not stand that money might be holding people back from changing their lives with this program. So I decided to discount it. And when I decide to do something, I generally go big. So I'm taking over $1,000 off the price of Revitalize. That's right. Access to the Revitalize Health Accelerator is now only $299. That's only 21% of what it cost just last week. I know I might be crazy, but honestly, I hope my craziness benefits you. I would really love to have you join. So if you're interested, go ahead and click the button in the show notes or the link in the show notes. Just scroll on down wherever you're listening to this podcast and click that link. You'll learn more about Revitalize and you'll be able to sign up. If you want, you can get in today. You can get access to Pillar One today and get started rocking your health at a new level that you have never before touched. I would truly love to have you. And I hope these little tips, like I said, we only covered maybe 1%, probably less of the information in there. But I hope these tips were helpful. Whether or not you choose to join Revitalize, try to think about one of these tips today that you will actually apply. And one more time, if you are interested in joining the Revitalize Health Accelerator, scroll on down in those show notes, click that link, and I will be so excited to welcome you into the program. Thanks for listening to another episode, my friends. I will be back with you next week with a great interview. Thanks for listening to another episode of Wellness Your Way with Megan Lyons. I always love connecting with listeners, so be sure to follow me on social media. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss brand new episodes each week. If you love Wellness Your Way, please leave us a rating and review. I appreciate it so much. Stay well, and I'll be back next week. The Wellness Your Way podcast is provided for information only and should not be misconstrued as medical advice. Please consult with your physician or otherwise qualified practitioner on any matters regarding your health and well-being or on any opinions expressed within this podcast or the Lion's Share website.